And welcome to Monday on the Pure Opelka podcast. It's Mike here on the 22nd day of April, and we are just 197 days away from an election, the most important, the most critical election in our lifetimes. 197 days away, it's going to go by in a blink of an eye. And we will try and get to all the coverage on the latest polling and data as relates to the election, but there's a whole lot of news going on today, as well as a lot of stuff in history that made important moments in our past. For example, 1792, President George Washington declared America was neutral in the war that was going on in Europe. Kind of kept us out of that, which was a good thing. On this date in 1889, the Oklahoma land rush began. It was supposed to happen at noon. A bunch of people jumped the gun, and that's why they call the people in Oklahoma Sooners. 1955, Congress ordered all U.S. coins to bear the motto, "In God We Trust." It was not always there, but in 1955, it became mandatory. 1970, the first Earth Day was celebrated. And I remember we went out and planted trees as little kids. And now I remember that Earth Day was started by a crazy dude, a radical, who also happened to kill and then compost his girlfriend. Look it up. It's real. On this date in 1976, Barbara Walters became the first female network TV news anchor. On this date in 1978, the Blues Brothers showed up on SNL, and then we had a movie, and then we had a phenomenon. The second movie, not so much. You know, you can't do it without John. In 1994, on this date, former President Richard Nixon passed away, also losing his life on this date in 2004. NFL player who volunteered to then serve in the military, Pat Tillman, was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan. Rest in peace, Pat Tillman. And on this date in 2020, thank you, COVID, Germany canceled Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest was called off because of the China virus. Yeah, bad things happened. A lot of dumb things happened during the COVID. A lot of things which we should be paid back for from China. And I assume we will be in some way, shape, or form if Donald Trump is reelected president. But we'll see. We will see. 197 days away in the battleground state polling, Donald Trump leads in 5 of the 6 states. It's not a giant lead, but it's a lead. And in the state that Joe Biden has a lead, it's a teeny tiny lead, less than half a percentage point. So within the margin of error. CNN polling and NBC and MSNBC polling have the Biden campaign and the Democrats a little freaked out. I guess that's why Joe is not back in Washington, D.C. today. He's getting on a plane or a helicopter. I'm not sure which one he's taking back from lower Delaware. But he's getting on a plane at 11:45. So you're sleeping in after spending a weekend at the beach. Meanwhile, you still have a crisis going on halfway around the world. In Israel, you also have breakouts of major protests, anti-Jewish protests in college campuses around the country. It started in New York City at the campus of Columbia. And the anti-Israel, anti-Jewish protesters do not want to leave. They're refusing. And now we've got reports that it's happening at Yale and MIT, and I'm sure it's happening around the country. And as I started reviewing some of the reports from this, I started seeing things that reminded me of my coverage during the Occupy Wall Street era. Occupy Wall Street happened in New York City, all around the country as well. But in Zuccotti Park is where they started it. And they had this little thing they used to call the call and repeat, where the leader would tell them what they needed to know and everybody would repeat it so the folks behind them could hear it. This is from last night on the quad at Columbia University, where a bunch of these anti-Israel, anti-Jewish people have taken over the quad. And they saw a couple of Jewish students, just a handful of Jewish students wanting to walk through the quad, but they were not allowed.
Attention, everyone. Can I give need everyone to form a human chain right here, please. We have Zionists that have entered
the camp.
Mindset! Repeat after me!
Repeat after me!
It's kind of funny that he says repeat after me and then they all actually repeat after him. This is a guy who's, I guess, the leader of the evening who's telling them, we have Zionists who have entered the camp.
We have Zionists!
We have Zionists!
Who have entered the camp!
Who have entered the camp!
We are going to create a human chain!
We are going to create a human chain!
Where I am standing!
Where I am standing!
No, they don't sound like sheeple, do they? Not much at all. I'll let this guy continue. He's giving them orders to form a line to take one step at a time and force the students who have the right to be there out of the quad, off of the grass.
So that
they do not pass this point. They do not pass this point.
And infringe upon our privacy.
And infringe upon our privacy.
And try to disrupt our community.
So they don't want their privacy or community disrupted. It's a public space, and it is not officially a community. It's a community that they think they have established, and they are setting up their own rules.
Try to disrupt our community.
Please join me in this chain.
Please join me in this chain.
You see how hostile this is, and you're asking me not to record?
Walk and take a step.
So now the person who's got a cell phone out, who happens to be Jewish, is being told, don't record. This is in public. And the leader of the call and repeat is telling people to form a chain and slowly walk a step at a time and force people out.
Forward. Yeah, I absolutely feel threatened.
Take a step forward.
So that we can.
Start to push them.
Out of the camp. One step forward. Another step forward.
And you see them on the video, each taking a single step forward. This is madness that it's being allowed to happen. And as I said, it's happening around the country. Last night at MIT. Yes, MIT. This happened. This is a young lady wearing the Palestinian scarf, and there are a bunch of students behind her. This is also reportedly happening at Emerson and Tufts University, setting up the similar encampments in solidarity with Columbia University students.
My name is Hannah. I'm with the Coalition for Palestine at MIT, and right behind us is our Scientists Against Genocide encampment. Following in Columbia's footsteps, we are in an encampment in solidarity with Gaza. And all the Boston area schools have a set of four demands. The first one is to disclose investments. The second is to cut ties with the IOF. Third is to call for a ceasefire. And fourth is to drop charges against students.
So they want all the students not to face any charges for breaking the law and doing what they're doing with this takeover. I don't know if they're going to be successful. In Columbia, last week they had 108 students who were arrested, including, I think, Ilhan Omar's daughter, who was also thrown out of school. But this is now spreading all across the country. And some of the other stuff that happened yesterday in the afternoon at Columbia, they actually had a battery-powered microphone with a speaker, so they didn't have to have everybody repeating like they did last night. You're not allowed to have gas-powered generators inside New York City because they don't want people walking around with cans of gas. Otherwise, you have things that happen like we did down at the courthouse last week with the guy who lit himself on fire, subsequently died, Democrat Bernie Sanders supporter, crazy guy. But back to Columbia University. Yesterday, this happened on the quad.
Well, we got another win to announce.
Why do these people always have a drum? They always have somebody with a drum. I guess that's to get attention. But there's always an idiot with a drum and trying to accentuate what I guess they believe is the most important thing. This is a woman in a big parka. standing in the middle of the quad telling them that we got another win yesterday. We have something to announce.
For folks who weren't here earlier this afternoon, we shared that the university has now lost this lawn, which is a critical part of their graduation commencement setup, which is costing them thousands of dollars.
Now, she said, we have a win that the university has lost the lawn. No, you've just occupied the lawn. And the mayor of New York has made it public that the police just can't go in and move them out unless the university gives them the okay. So the university, Columbia, hasn't said, yeah, they're trespassing. This area is supposed to be only accessible to students, people with a student ID. But this whack job is out there. I'm sure there are students there, but there are also a bunch of people who aren't students. And these are very well-funded protests.
And we will not move. Our graduating students in this encampment will not move until our demands are met. We also just found out, as of tomorrow, all classes will have an online option.
That seems like that's a loss because you're trying to disrupt school, but the university is set up to do online learning because of your stupidity. So why are they chanting? They didn't stop anything. The education's going to continue. But I wonder about the indoctrination.
Because we will not fucking leave until we get divestment.
Yeah, it's always good to drop an F-bomb in there. It gives you street cred, makes you sound more serious. I don't know what's going to happen today. I hope somebody calls the police. But we saw other videos showing Jewish students being harassed as they were going back to their dorm rooms last night. And let's not forget, Passover begins today. So these are crazy people who don't understand the world. There are also people who probably had their tuition reimbursed by Joe Biden, which would make me very upset if I learned that. But we'll find out. We'll keep an eye on this. This is a thing to watch. I may be going to New York to see what's going on. I did cover Occupy Wall Street from inside Occupy Wall Street when I worked at TheBlaze.com. And we saw very similar behavior. The call and repeat, the mic check, the madness of groupthink that is happening. And by the way, the people who keep talking about genocide, our own Defense Department has said, we have no proof of genocide. We have no evidence of genocide happening at all. Not even close to happening. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? I think so. I have to get to some of the polling data. That's right. I mentioned some of the polling information, and we talked about the swing states. And why is that happening? Well, NBC polled a bunch of voters, likely voters, and NBC has results that are real bad for Joe Biden. In terms of handling a crisis, Trump gets 4 more points than Biden. A strong record as president, Trump's up 7 points. Competent and effective, which is what Joe Biden always is telling us he is. Trump is up 9 points. Necessary mental and physical health to do the job. You want to guess who wins this one? Donald Trump by 19 points. And how about dealing with inflation and the cost of living? Donald Trump is up 22 points in that question alone. And it was kind of interesting to watch Steve Kornacki explaining this on Meet the Press yesterday to Kristen Welker.
We talk about the erosion for Biden, and now you start to see it. Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
Yeah, and he's down from 47% back then to 36%. It's not good.
We actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one, too. Necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
These are really bad numbers for Biden. And he's way down in the physical and mental health category. Way down. To the point of embarrassment. And I wonder if the Democrats are thinking about a replacement. It makes you wonder because lately we've seen a lot of Gavin Newsom and a lot of Hillary Clinton popping up. Are the Democrats starting to make their presence aware so that maybe people will consider, hey, maybe we should get that Hillary Clinton lady in here? Is that something that's going to be on the menu? I don't know. I wouldn't doubt that Hillary Clinton would like that. I wouldn't doubt that Gavin Newsom would like that. And maybe they're preparing for something to happen at the convention. Maybe. By the way, if you think the people who are protesting today aren't going to show up in Chicago and Milwaukee, you're wrong. I mentioned Hillary Clinton because she's been out and about doing interviews, and she's talking about Donald Trump and how he looks up to Vladimir Putin. Hillary Clinton trying to make herself look and sound presidential.
Putin does what he would like to do. Kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world, because in that world, he only sees strong men leaders. He sees Putin. He sees Xi. He sees Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Those are the people he is modeling himself after.
I don't agree with this lady, and she still hasn't fully accepted that she lost the election. She still talks about how she had an election stolen from her. But will the polls force the Democrats to make a move? We don't know. It's very possible. Very, very possible. A couple of other issues that we have to talk about. Bill Maher. Bill Maher on occasion gets my attention when he says something and I think, oh my goodness, is Bill Maher actually saying something I can agree with? Well, he has on a couple of occasions. And this past weekend, he said some things that a lot of people are waking up and saying, hey, he's right about that. One of them was his statement about drag queen story hours and kids. This makes incredible sense.
Maybe it's time to admit that sometimes drag queen story hour is more for the queen than the kids. Sure, kids love a clown, but does the clown have to have tits? And when I see a five-year-old tipping at a bar under a sign that says it's not going to lick itself, do I have to pretend that's cool in order to keep my liberal ID card? Sorry, I can't do that. If you want kids to be more tolerant, why not have handicapped people read them stories? Kids are more likely to encounter disabled people than drag queens.
Yeah, he's right. He's absolutely right on that. Bill Maher was upset. He watched the documentary that exposed a lot of the grooming and the pedophiles involved with some of the children's television programming, Nickelodeon, Disney, etc. He talked about entrapping children and then getting them indoctrinated into identity politics. Let me give you a little bit of this because this was pretty remarkable. Again, this is super liberal Bill Maher, and it's on his show, which airs, I guess, on HBO, but it's also replayed now Saturday nights on CNN.
And contrary to current progressive dogma, children aren't miniature adults wise beyond their years. They're morons.
He's not wrong.
They're gullible morons who'll believe anything and just want to please grown-ups. And they don't have any frame of reference. So they normalize whatever's happening. That's why endlessly talking about gender to six-year-olds isn't just inappropriate. It's what the law would call entrapment, which means enticing people into doing something they wouldn't ordinarily do.
Again, Bill Maher, super lefty, is correct. And the madness of the gender confirming, I guess that's what they're calling it, gender confirming treatments, which terribly, terribly alter the makeup of children. Look, if you're over 18 and you want to do something to your body, it's up to you. Pierce your head, whatever you want to do. Cut off your schmengi, whatever. But leave the damn kids alone. I'm just stunned by all this. And now we're watching because the Scandinavian countries are stepping away from their early adoption of what's allegedly gender-affirming care. To me, it's gender-destroying care. And the UK, the Brits are saying, hey, we're going to pump the brakes on this. If you're an adult, do what you want. Leave the kids alone. And I'm just absolutely incensed that now we have this gender-affirming care BS being foisted upon medical students in the form of a psychiatric textbook. Gerald Posner is joining us. My friend Gerald Posner, the author, great investigative journalist doing stuff. Last week, he had an incredible op-ed inside the Washington Post about the madness of the gender-affirming care, especially as it relates to this textbook. Welcome, my friend. Gerald, are you there? Gerald.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, you know, I think in some ways, you know, you said before that it's BS, this whole idea of gender-affirming care or this, but it's, I think, the greatest medical scandal since lobotomies. And, you know, people will say, what? You've got to be kidding. But many people forget that lobotomies were embraced as a medical standard that was good when they were operating on people's brains to cure mental illness. The fellow who invented it won a Nobel Prize. So there are times when medicine goes really off the rails, and it's done it here on gender-affirming care, especially for those under 18, thinking that children have the ability to make a decision about what gender they are, and then performing surgeries and giving them hormones that do irreparable and permanent damage for the rest of their lives. This is mutilation of children. It's been endorsed by medical societies. And what I found on this op-ed is that at a time, like what you said on the lead-in, other countries are now pulling back and saying, maybe we went too far too fast. So they want no more surgeries, no more hormones. Maybe we should give the kids therapy first. And guess what I discovered? The American Psychiatric Association, the lead association for the country's 38,000 psychiatrists, has just published its first textbook on gender-affirming care. And it is a radical handbook that actually promotes rushing children into the medicalization process as soon as possible. It is a woke Bible that just is, in so many areas, outdated and wrong. And 7,000 doctors, physicians, psychiatrists have signed an open letter to the society saying, withdraw this book. It's terrible. And they are ignoring it. They ignored me as well. They won't issue a comment. It's really a disgrace.
Well, you say 7,000 members of the community have stepped up and said, hey, this is a bad idea. You should stop it. Wasn't there another book, another textbook that almost made it to print?
Yeah. Last year, as a matter of fact, late last year, the American Pediatric Association, and you know that's bad, pediatrics, so you're dealing with children, they were publishing a book called Pediatric Collections, Gender-Affirming Care, same type of radical ideology. And that book got involved in a lawsuit in which somebody charged the Pediatric Association was, quote, improperly endorsing harmful care that wasn't backed by the evidence. Same thing is happening here with the psychiatrists. What the Pediatric Association did is they canceled the book, refunded all the pre-orders. And if you go on Amazon, you can find that book, and it says on a big thing across it, canceled. The Psychiatric Association won't do that. So this book, with their stamp of approval, Mike, is going to end up as the sort of required book in medical schools for first-year students, for psychiatrists, for nurses, for physicians, for anybody dealing with mental health care. And the really amazing thing is here is they claim on their own publishing site, the Psychiatric Association, that they have this strict peer review process in which they select projects and then they select the editors and contributors to these textbooks. And the person that they selected to be the editor for this book is in fact transgender in their early 20s, who describes themselves, this is really to me always rather amazing, as quote, a non-binary, trans, queer, neurodivergent, chronically ill, Jewish person. That's the editor for the new textbook.
Does that fit on a business card? Is that the official title of the person who was in charge of shepherding this project through? Give me that list again. How do you self-describe? Like, I talk about Gerald Posner. I say, well, he's an author, and he's a great journalist, investigative journalist, and an all-around good guy. How does this psychiatric resident in their early 20s describe themselves?
So this is really something, because you have to think to yourself that they are describing themselves in the way that they think is accurate and the best portrayal to the world. And this is, quote, a non-binary, trans, queer, neurodivergent, chronically ill, Jewish person. And that's their description of themselves. Now, they, by the way, earlier last year had written two other books before they did the textbook. One is the what they call a poetry chapbook about her journey. She's born a girl, from a girl to a boy, then stopping testosterone and restarting estrogen in an effort to get pregnant. That book's called Trans Abdominal Retrieval, A Genderqueer Jewish Quest to Make an Embryo. You can't make this up. And the second book is called Gender is Really Strange. And that's just a radical view of history and gender, which is not correct at all, but it includes such gems as this. This will tell you what the Psychiatric Association chose as their chief editor. This is a quote from her book. Binary gender norms, men and women, are fake news from European colonialism and white supremacy. And you then think to yourself, okay, so hold on a second. So if all these other indigenous people around the world have had other genders for all these years, why didn't we know about it? And she answers that in her book. She says, to maintain power, white doctors and scientists argued that Black, Indigenous, and people of color, BIPOC communities, were subhuman because men and women were indistinguishable. Now we get to the textbook, which the American Psychiatric Association has put out. 50 of the 56 contributors are transgender, non-binary, or gender expansive. That's how they describe themselves. So 90% are already there, you know, repeating the information that is like an ideology. And the editor that we just talked about says in the beginning of the book that, of course, it's impossible to be objective when it comes to science. So you have to give your lived experience. And even though 90% of the textbook contributors are transgender or non-binary, the editor still feels compelled in the beginning of the book in the foreword to apologize. This is what she says. I apologize. So many contributors are obscenely privileged English-speaking American physicians who had access to rarefied medical education and training at some of the world's best resourced academic institutions. Now, no wonder the American Psychiatric Association, the world's oldest medical society, is ashamed to answer the question that I asked them. How did you select this person to be the editor on this textbook?
And that's the question. If they would answer that question, I think we'd learn a whole lot.
Well, I mean, you know, we would learn that these associations have been captured by this. It's not just a sort of an ideological transgender philosophy, which is hurting children and putting people at harm. But when you see how it's mixed in with this idea of, you know, white supremacy, European colonialism, violent construction of white dominated Western academic discourses, it's all part of this far left, you know, destabilizing philosophies. And in this case, it happens to be in medicine. And I must tell you that I think it's going to end up in litigation. I think it's going to end up in class action lawsuits. It's going to end up in people eventually losing their jobs and getting dismissed. We aren't there yet. It's slowly changing. As you said, you know, the UK and now blocked gender, you know, puberty blockers for minors. There's a report over there. Other countries are pulling back slowly. But on the whole, you have institutions like this that are captured by these ideologues. And when you come after and ask them and expose them, they don't even give. Mike, you've been in the business for years of all types of programs that you have done and on different controversial subjects in which you've gone out and asked somebody for a comment, or you've asked an organization for a comment, or do they have anything to say? And sometimes they do damage control, and sometimes they come back to you and say, no comment, we're studying it, or whatever. It's very rare that they just ignore it. They have nothing at all to say. And in this case, they didn't even give, you know, no comment, but we are studying it, or we're looking into it, or that. And I just think that this idea of arrogance, this idea that we're above it all, that if we don't respond, eventually it'll go away while children are being harmed, people should be outraged at that.
Yeah, everybody should be outraged at that. We're talking to Gerald Posner, author, investigative journalist. The op-ed piece in the New York Post last week is so important when it comes to this issue of allowing children to be mutilated either physically or by using the hormone replacement drugs, the hormone altering drugs, the puberty blockers, everything that now the cool kids over in Europe, the Scandinavian nations are pumping the brakes on this. London and England are saying, hold on, nothing can be done to the kids until they're adults or until we know more. But no, we're not even doing that. We're just avoiding the issue. Gerald, it's an important issue. I hope you're going to have a follow-up on this, because I don't think this is over. I think we have to keep clapping the pan lids together to try and make enough noise until they wake up.
Yeah, no, I do think so. And, you know, Mike, part of the problem is that I talk to people in different areas. They've got different issues. And then I'm talking to them about this, or they're reading the op-ed, and they say, well, you know, that's really, it is something to get angry about, but I don't think it affects me, or it doesn't affect my family, or it's such a small issue because the numbers are small. Okay, the numbers are 50,000 children who've had some type of surgical intervention in the last 5 years. Okay, 50,000, small number in a country of 340 million. But let me tell you, that number is going to grow in the near future, because we now have big money coming in from the Pritzker family, from others, from Soros and others, funding these research centers at universities and at hospitals for gender studies. So the ball is really getting going. So we're going to see more and more. And I'll tell you that if we don't put a stop to it now, if we don't expose it for this sort of sham science that it is, at an early stage, just more children are going to be hurt down the road. So I get it when people say, you know, there's another issue that has me on fire. I don't think this one's affecting my family, but it's not something, you know, that we can not focus on, because I do think that otherwise we're just allowing this travesty to play out unchallenged.
Well, if there were one branch of medical science that were allowing 50,000 children to be physically abused and mentally abused, and people knew about it and did nothing, I think that would be a big enough issue. And it's only going to get bigger. So this is just crazy to look the other way. 50,000 kids, 50,000 families are now going to have to deal with the aftermath, because we know the aftercare on the physical surgery end of it is not simple. And we know the psychiatric care can go on forever and ever and ever.
Right. And just one last thing. One of the things that happens when you say 50,000 families affected, many of the parents who don't know the ins and outs and aren't sure of the science, they really are almost bullied into going along with the process. When their child goes in to see a school counselor or a therapist or somebody else and says, by the way, I think that maybe I'm not really a girl, I think I'm another gender, because they've seen some TikTok videos that make them think that. And the therapist must, by the rules, affirm that. They can't question it. I had two first-year psychiatric residents tell me off the record in this piece, they're a prestigious institution. They are told that if somebody says to them, they think they're another gender or a child does, they have to affirm it. They can't say, oh, maybe you're wrong. And then when the parents are called in, the parents are told, by the way, if you don't allow your child to transition to another gender, they're going to commit suicide, because that's what happens in this. And that's false. That's been proven to be false, but it's repeated all the time. So the parents go along with it, not because they're willing in every case. They're not cheerleaders for it. Some are. But for the most part, they feel they have no choice. And that's unfortunate because the system has rigged itself to make the families complicit in this without the families knowing enough to be able to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do this.
The guilt is unbelievable to say, well, would you rather have a living daughter or a dead son?
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah,
and it's absolutely, yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, horrible.
So maddening. Gerald Posner is worth a follow on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I would suggest you follow him, you subscribe to what he's doing. Where's the best place to find the latest stuff from you, Gerald?
Actually, on Substack or Twitter. So Twitter is just Gerald Posner, and on Substack, I'm there as Just the Facts.
Just the Facts. He's better than Joe Friday because we still got him here. Thank you, my friend. Always appreciate you.
Thank you, Mike. Great to talk to you.
And there he goes. It's a really important subject, and I want to make the case beyond just the textbook. I want to take it down to a local situation not far from where I live in Delaware, right across the border in Pennsylvania. There's a middle school that should be national news because of what happened last week due to the allowing these mentally ill people to claim that they are another gender. And we just say, oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, sure, you are whatever you think you are. No, we need to address their gender dysphoria as an actual problem. No, they allowed a male student to identify as a female in a middle school. A male student, so a boy pretending to be a girl, went on a rampage. And now that if you know somebody's a boy and they're pretending to be a girl, you should know there's already a problem in the brain. And now you've got the situation where this person is bullying the real girls in the middle school. And one of them was brutally attacked last week. Other students had been raising their hands going, stop it. This can't be allowed to happen. She has a hit list, and they have to call this person a she or they're going to get in trouble, even though it's a boy. Well, over the weekend, there was a school board meeting, and one of the students stood up very bravely and told the story.
Wednesday morning, I went to the guidance counselor and told her since I was second on the hit list, knowing that there was something going to happen, because there was a girl she was targeting every day at lunch. And they would go to the counselor and tell them every day that this is going to happen. And Wednesday, I went with two others, and each of us filled out a whole paper full of what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And then I went to chorus, and I was told, watch your back. He is going to come for you and this other girl at lunch.
So this young lady is telling the story, and she's holding it together at the moment, but the story got more bizarre as she told the details of the attack and how one of the students was beaten horribly using one of those big cups.
Nobody is going to be
And there he goes, Gerald Posner, my buddy. And there he goes. Great information from Gerald Posner. We're going to follow this story because it's just getting bigger and bigger. And there is some local follow-up that I want to talk about, a case nearby. And there he goes, Gerald Posner. We will follow up on that story. We'll also follow up on the local story that's happening near me in Pennsylvania, where a middle schooler was beaten, horribly beaten, by a boy pretending to be a girl and used one of those big steel cups that they all love and hitting the kid on the head over and over again during lunch. And nobody has... Gerald Posner with some great information. We'll be following that story and another story tomorrow. I'll give you an update on it. The story of a middle school girl who was beaten horribly by a boy pretending to be a girl. And the school was warned that this kid has a hit list. And they did nothing. They did nothing. We have to stop allowing mentally ill people to do whatever the hell they want to do. And we have to protect our children, just like we have to protect the women in our world from the madness of the transgender agenda and the Biden administration trying to erase women by allowing men pretending to be women to get into the sports world, to get into the scholarship world, and in this case, in the middle schools. It's absolute madness. Has to be stopped. Be back tomorrow with an update on whatever happened in the New York City opening of Donald Trump's court, as well as what's going on at Columbia University, at MIT, at Yale, and other campuses around the country where anti-Israel, anti-Jewish protests seem to be growing. Will the president say anything? Well, he's got to get back from the beach first. He's not going to be back in D.C. till after 12 noon today. Must be nice. What an embarrassment. All right, I'm getting too angry. It's Michael Pelka reminding you we'll do it again tomorrow. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.